We're going to go to Luke chapter number 8 and also James chapter number 1. We're going to spend most of the time in Luke chapter number 8, but in James chapter number 1, we like to begin with an illustration. Luke chapter 8 and James number 1, chapter 1, if you just like to listen, you're welcome to do that also. If you do not have a Bible with you this morning, there is supposed to be one right in front of the pew in between the hymn books. We'd encourage you to follow along if you're able to. Title of this morning's message is Let Him Hear. The Bible is an amazing book, and this week our Kids Crusade theme is called Operation Arctic, but if you read the little byline that's down there, it says Exploring the Coolest Book in the Planet, or on the planet, and it's the idea that the Bible is something that is relevant and evident and important, and it's something that our young people need to understand and grab a hold of and listen to. The Bible is what changes lives. A couple of things. The Bible is an amazing book. First of all, it's inspired by God. It's also known as the best-selling book, the most read book of all time. It contains over 8,000 promises. People have even tried to destroy it over the years and will never be able to. The Bible says, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's been translated in over 2,000 different languages and dialects over the years. It is an amazing, amazing book. If you're saved this morning and if you're on your way to heaven, it's because someone showed you a portion of the Bible or part of the Bible and received Christ and saw your need as a sinner and accepted Christ as a Savior because of what the Word of God says. In James chapter number 1, the idea of this message is receiving the Word of God. There's a parable about the sower and about the soils we're going to look at in Luke chapter number 8 because we're going through the book of Luke in our on our Sunday morning sermons. But in James chapter number 1, it talks about receiving the Word of God also. James chapter number 1, verse number 22, the Bible says, But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So what the Word of God is saying, not only are you supposed to hear the Word of God, hearing is just not enough, you also must be a doer. When you receive the Word of God, when you hear it, you're supposed to receive it and then do the things you've heard. But it continues on and gives an illustration. If any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And we would refer this to as a mirror, someone that's looking into a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So the illustration here is the idea is that you look in a mirror and then you just see the way you look and then you turn around and walk away and don't change anything. You go to verse number 25, it says, But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, it's another reference to the Bible, and continueth therein, which means not only hearing, but doing what they hear, applying it to their life, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So what is the Bible saying there? It gives an illustration. The Bible's filled with illustrations and filled with, even when I see a parable and story that just try to teach us lessons and show us things. So the illustration here is that when you look into the Bible, is as if you look into a mirror. Because the Bible will show us about ourselves. It will teach us about ourselves. Is when you look into a mirror, and if you see something wrong, you still see it and you walk away without fixing it. Think about it. Most people, I know this might not mean everybody, most people, when they get up in the morning, they do not look the same as when they leave the house. Most people, when they get up in the morning, they do things to help themselves look more presentable. I know some of you gentlemen do not have to comb your hair, but most of us, when we get up in the morning, because we've slept in it in the morning time, slept throughout the night, your hair looks a little different. Some people like to joke me because I wear a lot of hairspray. The reason why I wear a lot of hairspray is because I have like 6 cowlicks in my hair. And in the morning time, my hair looks like it's a punk rocker. I mean, it's going everywhere. So when you look at, and when you look in the mirror, if I got up this morning, I looked in the mirror and looked at myself. I noticed, hey, look, I need to shave. I need to comb my hair. You know, hopefully brush your teeth. You have to do certain things before hopefully change out of your pajamas, things like that. And when you look in the mirror, if you looked in the mirror in the morning time, you saw all these different things that needed to be worked on, all these different things that needed to be changed. And you just went and said, oh, I look fine. I'm good. And I leave and I walk away. That's the illustration is a person who sees the need and doesn't change. They look in the mirror. They see all the things that they need to work on. They see all the things that they need to change. But they said, nah, I look good. I'm okay. Now, obviously, most of you, if not all of you, did something different than when you came in. You know, whether it was changing clothes, brushing teeth, combing hair. It takes some people 15, 20 minutes. It takes some people a few hours. But at least somebody does something when they look in a mirror because they know there's something that needs to change. And the illustration here is when we look into the Word of God and we look into the Bible, it's not just about hearing it and say, hey, that was a good lesson. That was a good message. It's not just about hearing it. What is it? We hear it and we apply it and we do it. We don't walk away from the perfect law of liberty and say, oh, I see what the Bible says about forgiveness. I see what the Bible says about being angry. I see what the Bible says about loving one another. I see what the Bible says, but I'm just going to forget it. I'm just going to turn around and walk away. That's not it. The Bible is supposed to not only be heard. You don't just come to church to mark it off the list. Hey, I came to church this week. I did God a favor. No, no, no. You hear what's being said. You apply it to your life and you take it in and you change. Just like when you stand in the mirror and you try to comb your hair. And yes, it does probably take me a few minutes longer than some of you guys. But it's if it's still sticking up, you want to keep on working on it. Keep on working at it till you get it right. And that's what this little illustration here from the book of James is. And it gives us an idea of what we're going to look at in the book of Luke. So let's go ahead and look in Luke now, chapter number 8. And Luke chapter number 8, there's a very familiar passage of scripture. It's a familiar parable. So you use this word parable. What's a parable? A parable, as many people have said, is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus Christ was a great teacher. Better teacher than anyone who's ever lived. And he would use stories and illustrations. Sometimes people's like, well, I don't like it when the preacher tells stories. I don't like it when the preacher tells illustrations. Actually, they help. They kind of connect the dots. They show us things. And Jesus was a teacher, a master teacher. And what did he does all the time? He uses illustrations. He uses stories. He looks at the door and says, I am the door. And he talks about no man can come in except by him. And he uses illustrations. He said, consider the sparrows. And he said, consider the lilies. Over and over, he would use basic things that people would understand in that day and time. And that's what he's doing here. He's looking at the fields. And he's explaining to people who, many of them work in fields and work with the soil and work with the seed. And he gives them a story and helps them to understand things. Now, there are people where people didn't want to listen. People didn't want to learn. People sometimes came to hear him with the wrong motives, and that's not a good thing. We talked about the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees that went around to see what he was saying wrong and doing wrong. But here in this chapter number 8, we're going to start in verse number 4, he tells a very familiar story. Now, this context and the interpretation of the scriptures is mainly about those who receive the word of God and become a Christian or don't become a Christian. But today we're going to use it not only from that idea and that interpretation, we're also going to look at it as people who are believers and how we receive the Word of God. So the main interpretation here in this passage of Scripture is how when the Word of God is presented and the Word of God is given, when the gospel is given, some don't even care to hear. Some respond slightly, some respond, and then later on they let the cares of this world choke it out of them in a sense, and then there's good ground. But this application we're going to make this morning is in reference to how we as Christians respond to the preaching and teaching of God's word. And you'll see how they intertwine together. Let's go ahead and read chapter 8, verse number 3 through 21. And I'll give you a little commentary as we go along and look at this part where it says, let him hear. Verse number 4 is where we're going to start. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. So there's a large group that has come to hear him. And he says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And it's referring to a person as a farmer, a person who would take seed and take it out to his field. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Now, this word by the wayside is referring to the paths that are trodden by the sides. We have farmers that live all around us. There are certain spots that they will take their trucks and their vehicle and their equipment, and they'll go down that path because it's hard. It's not going to have a problem. It's not the good soil. It's a very hard and tough soil because it's been trodden on top, and that's what it says here. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devour it. And some fell upon a rock. Now, this is talking about rocky ground. Back in this area and this time, Israel was a very rocky area. Sometimes there was good soil that would only be maybe an inch or 2 inches deep, and it was covering limestone, and sometimes the seed would fall on that. And it says, as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It never had the moisture it needed to provide roots to be able to create fruit. Verse number 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up with it and choked it. Some of the seed was presented or thrown was in a spot where there were so many thorns, it choked the life out of it. Verse number 8, and other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, now look at this phrase. I have it underlined in my Bible. He cried. If you look at Jesus' teaching and preaching, there's not a lot of times where it's recorded that he cries out or that he's yelling. And I don't think there's anything wrong with preaching that's yelling. I think preaching that's a little bit excitable is great and fine. But when you read and see Jesus teaching, he teaches with authority and with the power. But at this point in time, he makes an emphasis. He cries out and says, he that hath an ear, hath ears to hear, let him hear. He's saying, look, if you have an ear, hear this. And this is a parable here. And look what it says in verse number 9. And his disciples ask him, saying, what might this parable be? They didn't understand the story. Everything else was so evident and so clear when he talked about things. He says, explain it to us. In verse number 10, he says, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And this is what we refer to our Bible. Those who by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and the devil is a representation of the fowls of the air in verse number 5. And what does he do with the word? And taketh the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, and this is the second type of soil. They on the rock are they, which then they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So the seed is the word of God. We're going to look at this in a minute. And we see Jesus is the one that's sowing the seed right now. And the idea is to have our heart ready to receive the word of God is described in verse number 15. It's an honest and good heart. Having heard the word, it keeps the word and brings forth fruit with patience. Then let's go to the next verse. Now that they've received this fruit, what does it say in verse 16? No man, when he have lighted a candle, covereth with a vessel, and putteth under a bed, but setteth on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. He's saying, if you have the truth and you've seen the light, now let it shine to others that are around you. Verse 17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken even that which it seemeth to have. So we see that when we receive the truth, when we see the word, it's not something we're supposed to hide, but supposed to shine it and give it to others. Verse number 19, then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Now, he is not trying to minimize his relationship with his mother and his brother, but he is also speaking of a relationship that was even going to be greater than physical relationships, but spiritual relationships. And he's saying that those that are his closest are those who will not only hear the word of God, not only receive the word of God, but also do what they hear. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll dive right into the message, let him hear. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the chance to be here, open up your word, to preach and teach the word of God. Lord, I pray you speak to hearts today. Lord, there's so many of us that have so many needs. All of us could grow closer to you. All of us could become more like you. I ask that you encourage those that need to be encouraged. Lord, you rebuke those that need to be rebuked. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, help the seed to fall into the right type of soil and the right type of heart today. And Lord, that they would receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Lord, to the majority of the people in the room that are believers, help us to look into the perfect law of liberty. Help us to consider what the Word of God is teaching and saying today and ask ourselves, what type of heart do we have? Are we one that has a cold or a hard heart? Or are we one that has a rocky heart? Or ones that care so much about this world that we're not letting the Word of God in? Or do we have that fruitful heart? One that the Word of God enters freely and that we not only learn of it, but we spread it and we also do it. Lord, I pray you help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple things I want you to first of all see, and is when Jesus interprets his passages of scripture, he tells them in verse number 11, it says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. One thing I want us to walk away remembering and understanding, and one of the things we want to try to tell our young people this year and our kids' crusade is the word of God. There's nothing wrong with the word of God. The Word of God is powerful. It's quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is what changes people's lives is when we get into the Word of God and we understand the Word of God and we learn the Word of God and we keep the Word of God. Those are the things that will make a difference in us. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just not growing in my Christian life. Are you reading your Bible? Are you studying your Bible? There is nothing wrong with the seed. As we hear this parable, we say, you know, there's a sower that goes out with the seed. Well, maybe the problem's with the seed. And sometimes we think that, hey, the problem's not with my heart. The problem's with the seed. The Bible hasn't changed. God's word hasn't changed. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with the Bible. The Bible is not the problem. The Bible even says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ and of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In verse number 3, it continues, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible is a living seed, is a life-changing seed, is a fruit-producing seed. There is power in the Word of God. You know what? And the Word of God is not going to change. If you don't have to go looking for it from other versions, you don't have to go looking at other paraphrases, we have to ask the Holy Spirit of God to teach us and to show us and direct us. But the question is, when the Word of God goes forth, when the seed is sowed, what type of soil is it landing in? What type of heart do you have? What type of heart is receiving it? Second thing I want you to see here is the sower. The sower. In this parable, Jesus is referring to himself as the sower of the seed. You say, well, how do you see that? Well, he's the one teaching. And you say, well, is it the word of God? Well, Jesus was God. So he's the sower here. In this parable, he's sowing the seed. He's giving the word of God. But we also, as Christians, have been told to sow the seed too. In Psalms 26, verses 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing and bringing his sheaves with him. Christian, yes, Jesus is the sower here, but the Bible tells us over and over, we should be sowing the seed. Even later on in verses 16, it talks about, hey, look, when you have this truth, your truth was not given, so you go take it home and put it underneath your bed. No, the truth is given as a light, and you put it up on a candlestick so that others can see that light, so others can understand the truth, so others can have that same seed that was given to you. You share that with other people. And the Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weep and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. There is no problem with the sower in this story. Well, there is a problem with some sowers in our lives. The Bible says, if we go, we shall reap in joy if we sow in tears. How often do we take the word of God, the precious seed that God's giving us, the powerful, life-changing word of God, with a compassionate heart, with tears, trying to reach out to those that do not have it? Because he says, if he that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, bringing his sheaves with him. Christian, are we sowing in tears? All of us should be sowing. How do you sow? You say, how do you sow, Pastor? You sow by preaching the Word of God. You sow by teaching the Word of God. You sow by passing out gospel tracts. You sow by expressing, just having conversations with people. quoting scripture. That's how you sow. Third thing I want you to see is the soils. There's four different hearts that are given here, four different types of soils in representation of the hearts that people receive the teaching of the Word of God. There's four different soils here that I like to look at and spend a little bit of time with. And I'd like for us to look into the perfect law of liberty. I'd like us to look into the Word of God. And I'd like us to look into that mirror. And as we look into that mirror, not blame the seed and say, well, it's because the Bible is hard to understand, or because I don't like what the Bible says, or because of this or that. It's not the seed's fault. And I know some people like to complain about the sower. Some people might say, well, if they would have said it differently, or they would have said it a little louder, a little bit quieter, if they used better stories. It's not the sower's fault here. Let's look into the Word of God and apply it to our hearts and see, where does the Word of God land in our heart? Which one of these apply to us mostly? Because that's what we're supposed to do with the Bible. We're supposed to look at it and say, how does this apply to me? Which one of these grounds reflect my heart? The first thing I want you to see of these soils is by the wayside. By the wayside. And it gives this illustration here, what type of wayside it is. It says in verse number 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And what type of ground is that? And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devour it. In verse number 12, it gives the interpretation, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Let's consider here, the first of all, is the word of God when it is preached and teach to those that are lost, those who do not know Christ as their Savior. And even though the gospel could have been presented time and time and time again, it's kind of like when that seed hits that ground. It's so hard, it's so rock solid, it just bounces off. The birds see it and they come and they take it up, so that way the word of God doesn't get into their hearts. And when we think about the Bible, we think about the Pharisees. I think about the Pharisees, and I think about Herod, and I think about Pilate, I think about Judas, people who had the opportunity to hear the word of God, and over, they rejected it. And as they rejected it, what happened? Those Pharisees could watch Jesus perform miracle after miracle after miracle, but because they did not want to submit to him, because they did not want to believe in him, they rejected him. Their hearts were so hard and they were so cold that no matter what was said, a man could be risen from the dead in front of them and they were not going to believe. That's exactly what happened to them. Lazarus raised from the dead. What they do? A group of them run to the Pharisees and tell them what happened. Jesus rises from the dead. The Roman soldiers tell them what happened. They said, here, let us give you some money so you be quiet, so you won't tell them, because we don't want anybody else to know and believe. That's a hard heart. If you're here today and you've heard the gospel over and over and over and have never responded, that's the type of heart soil you have. Now let's make application to that, because I know that each of us must accept Christ for our own and on our own. When Christ, we must accept him. But I know many of you in the room today have already accepted him. When it comes to the preaching and teaching the word of God, unfortunately, there are Christians that have the same cold, hard heart. And it's not supposed to be that way. Remember, a Christian, a believer on his way to heaven should be receiving the word of God, hearing the word of God, accepting it, showing it, and living it and doing it. But there are certain things that when it's brought up, that no matter what would happen, no matter how much God speaks to our heart, no matter how much God shows us in the scripture, this is right, this is truth, that seed just comes and falls right off our heart. And the devil takes it away because he doesn't want you to change. You think about some of the things that we don't like to consider. What about forgiveness? Many of us would rather live in our bitterness and be entrapped in that tanglement of that those lies that we have believed that we should not forgive or we don't have to forgive. You know what? What does the Bible say about forgiveness? But sometimes when forgiveness is preached, our hearts are so hard, not going to hear it. When it comes about being a soul winner and reaching out to someone else, sometimes our hearts are so hard and so cold, it kind of gets the seeds there, but it's staying on top. It's not going inside. When it comes about roles, about husbands and wives and children, the Bible's clear and evident and shows us. And it says, this is what I want you to do, and this is your role, and this is what you're supposed to do. And you know, as we preach and teach on those things, some people's hearts are so hard and so cold, you could say however many times and show them right from scripture, this is truth. And they're like, I don't care. I don't care. See, let's look in the mirror today. Is there something in our heart that the Word of God tells us? Maybe about forgiveness. maybe about bitterness, maybe about being a soul winner, maybe about our role as a family member or a role as a church member, or maybe as, I don't know what it is, the Holy Spirit of God's pointing to your heart and saying, this is something you need to work on. Are we willing to work on the fact that we're supposed to pray without ceasing? Are we willing to work on the fact that we're supposed to be thinking about the Word of God and meditating on the Scriptures and being faithful to church? I mean, there's a long list of different things that we could all work on, you know, that our thought lives are even supposed to be clean. There's a long list of things. Look in the mirror. Is there a spot in your life where your heart is so hard that no matter what was said or who said it, it wouldn't matter? That's the type of soil this is. We need to work on that. That needs to be plowed up. Second thing is, not only is it by the wayside, you see the scripture that's given in verse number 6 is talking about those that fell upon the rocky places. It says, and some fell upon a rock. Once again, this is the precious seed. This is a seed that could produce 100-fold. This is a seed that can make an amazing difference. But it fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. You consider what it says in verse number 13. They are on the rock, are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which have for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. Let's first consider this for a person who's unsaved. Once again, I don't want you to get confused here. We're talking about someone who's unsaved and the fact they hear the gospel. And there are those who hear about the gospel and hear it preach and teach and think in their mind, this is something I need to do. They may even make a profession, but there's no change in their life. And what it's saying here is when they have no root, which while they believe and they, in a time of temptation fall away, they never truly repent. They never truly ask Christ to save them. It's a hard, rocky ground. There's no root there. There's nothing that's taken up in this person's life. I don't believe this person is a Christian. I don't believe this person's a believer. You might want to argue with me. Some people believe different things about, you know, the rocky person. Is he saved or unsaved? Is the person with thorns saved or unsaved? Things like that you can take and argue amongst yourselves with that. But if there's no root here, there's no ability to produce fruit, and there's no ability to produce fruit, then there's no belief there. As a person who says, hey, I hear that sounds good, let me think about that, but never truly makes a decision to follow after him. Okay, so how do we prepare that to apply to us as Christians today? How about a Christian? Are there things you hear the preaching and teaching and God works in your heart and kind of moves you and motivates you? You say, you know what? That's true. The scripture does say that. And you know what? I do need to change that. And I do need to make a decision. And maybe even come forward and get on your knees and say, God, this is something I want to do. But then by the time you get to the parking lot, or by the time you get home, or the next time temptation comes, it's all gone. That's a rocky heart. Let's look in the mirror. Is that us? Is that someone that is looking at that and saying, you know what, that's something I desire, but I'm not going to make a commitment? There's many Christians that struggle with that. The third thing I want you to see in this, and we need to move quickly here. The third thing I want you to see is among thorns. Look what the Bible says in verse number 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. You go over to verse number 14, it says, and that which fell among thorns are they which they heard the word. They go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, when we're considering about, is this person a Christian or not, they do take some root here. To me, my understanding of the Word of God, as to someone who I think was saved but allowed the things of this world just to take the Word of God out of them, they don't care about it anymore. So we make this application to us as believers. We let our lives become so busy and so important with other things. Look what it says here. Choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life that we don't bear fruit to perfection. This is where I think most Christians are at. They have a desire. They hear the Word of God. They even get into the Word of God. They want to make the change, and they're trying their best. But as they're trying their best in their own flesh, the things of this world begin to literally choke the Word of God out of them. This is a spot I struggle with. I try to have that good soil. I want to be the person that hears it, the person that receives it, the person that does it. But I have so many different things that I have to do and try to stay on top of, and so many things that I have interest in, and so many different things that make me so busy at times that when I'm trying to study, when I'm trying to learn, and when I'm trying to grow, and then I see literally the time and the responsibilities kind of crunching in and crunching in. It's just the things of this world are just choking the opportunities I have to study and learn the Word of God to where it doesn't become important, to where the Word of God is not ruling and reigning in my life. Instead, it's filled with a bunch of things. Maybe good things, maybe important things. The things that they're talking about here are the things that are the cares of this world, the riches of this life, the pleasures of this life. These are different things. We in our culture have become so busy, and our time is so much demanded, and attention is so much needed. We get caught up with the cares of this life that we do not spend time on the most important thing, the seed, the Word of God. We spend a lot of time on vain things, but we don't spend time on the thing that counts most. God gives us enough time to do exactly what He wants us to do. And if we're not doing the things that we know we're supposed to do, there's something else that we need to get rid of. Fourth thing I want you to see is into the good ground. The good soil. Look, it says in verse number 8, "And other fell on the good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And that's when he said, and when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath an ear, let him hear." He raises his voice and said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." He's saying, now listen, let it fall into the good ground. And then it gives the interpretation here in verse number 15. "But that on good ground are they which are an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." God desires us to take the Word of God, and not only take the Word of God and receive it into the good soil, but to bring fruit with that. And why do you plant? I know some of you have gardens, and I think it's great. I don't have a garden. I never really ever had a garden growing up. Don't feel sorry for me. But my dad every once in a while did, and I didn't do much to help it. He liked working in his garden. I'm thankful for that. But, you know, it's great. I think it's wonderful. But when you plant seeds, you just don't plant it for the fun of it. It's because you want to see fruit produced. And that's what God is saying. He is sowing the seed. He is sending forth the seed. And even when as Christians we're preaching and teaching the word every Sunday, we don't come in here and just sit for no reason. At least that's not what you're supposed to come here for. The seed, the Word of God is implanted. But what type of soil is it landing in? How is your heart this morning? Is it so hard and so cold in certain subjects that no matter what's said, you're not going to change? Is it so rocky that, yes, I need to change it, I want to change, but we don't let it take root. And the first time temptation comes or hardship comes, we just go, the Word of God just goes away because we've never implanted. The next thing is the thorny heart. It's so entangled up with this world that we see the change, we want to make the change, but we never invested into learning the scriptures and becoming disciplined in the scriptures, and we just keep on with the cares of this life. We hear the preaching and teaching and say, this is what I want to happen, this is what I want to change, and even start towards that way, but then we don't take the changes and the steps that are needed to clear out the pathway, to clear out the soil. I don't know much about gardening. I know some of you do, so I'm going to venture out some guessing that if you try to sow your seed amongst a bunch of weeds, what's it going to do? It's going to take the power of the seed away, and it's going to be overthrown by the thorns and the weeds and the thistles of this world. Same thing with the Word of God. No matter how much you want the precious seed to work, no matter how much you want the seed to take effect and take root, there's some things you have to clear out of your life before it's ever going to have the power that it's supposed to have. Then the last one is about the good ground. This is what I want. I want the hundredfold. I want to see God work. I want to see God move. And I want to see God produce fruit. And in verses 16 through 18, we're not going to take a long time to look at that. Not only does God give us a seed to produce fruit, God gives us a seed to shine as a light. Christian, He has never given you the Word of God for you to keep it to yourself. He doesn't want you to take it home and hide it. He doesn't want you to make believe to everybody else you're not a believer. He wants you to show it to the rest of the world. And even in the illustration that's found in verses 19 through 21, not only does he want it to produce fruit, not only does he want you to show it, but simply the most important thing he wants you to do is do it. Do what the Word of God says. So as we look in that mirror today and say, okay, God, as I look into the Bible, I see four different types of hearts. I see one heart that is so hard and so cold that I've never, no matter what is said, I'm not going to let you in. If that's your heart today, you can plow that up. The Holy Spirit of God can help you with that. But then you see the rocky heart, the one who gets emotional about it and will be excited about it for about 5 minutes. And then when your real world sets in, you'll forget all about it. Then the next one is the thorny heart that we care so much about the world that we don't care about the Word of God anymore. And then last but not least, that good heart. Where did the Word of God find you today? And that seed that's being thrown out there on those tough subjects that we struggle with, is there good ground that it's landing in? Is the seed being able to be produced into a good soil where it can germinate and it can produce the fruit that it's supposed to? Christian, today, where do you find your heart? I see in the Bible that the Pharisees were people that had those cold-hearted hearts. I think of that those rocky relationships where in the Bible where it talks about people who heard and wanted to respond a little bit, but truly never repented. Pilate was even interested for a second. Even Herod thought for a moment. Even those that said to Paul, King Agrippa, almost thou persuade of me. That's what a rocky heart is like. Then I think of the stories of Demas or the rich young ruler that came and wanted, but the things of this world just choked out the seed. But then I think of the people like the Lord's disciples, like Mary Magdalene we talked about last week, even Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea that respond and the seed lands onto that good soil and it produces fruit. Look into the Bible today. Look in it as a mirror and ask yourself, which one of these hearts is mine? And if it's not that good soil, do something about it. I don't think many of us would have gotten up this morning and came to church with the way we were dressed and the way we looked. We would have changed something. And I don't think many of us should leave our church house after hearing the Word of God preached and taught without making some type of changes in our lives. Someone said those boards, you know, those little church signs, you know, I think there's a church sign in our area that says something like, come as you are. You can change when you get here. And I think that's kind of good. You come, but you're supposed to change. When you hear the Word of God, it's not given just to entertain. There's a lot of entertaining people out there today. The Word of God's given so it can make a difference. Hear what it says. Respond to it. It's not just about hearing. It's about doing and then showing forth. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.